You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. Today, I'm lucky enough to be joined by Christina Covello-Garcia, who is the National Manager of Marketing Communications at Hyundai Canada. Christina's wealth of experience across many areas of the automotive industry has established her as a well-rounded and collaborative leader. She has been with Hyundai Canada for 12 years, where she's developed and executed national dealer development and after-sales programs. Christina, welcome to Marketing News Canada. Me and the guests are really excited to have you here.
Thank you so much, Daryl. Very much looking forward to our conversation.
Awesome. So you shared with me that you just got back from quite a bit of traveling. Where have you just got back from?
Yes, that's true. It's been a whirlwind. So I'm actually part of the Kellogg-Schulich Executive MBA program, and I've had the fortune of doing three global elective sets already this year, and the first of which brought me to Lisbon, followed by Miami, always a great time in Miami, and then lastly, just last week, actually, I just returned from Tel Aviv, where the last part was actually the most interesting because it was all about tech entrepreneurs and venture capital, and it was a very exciting program being almost like in the tech capital of the world.
Wow, that's quite a bit of traveling so far this year. We're only into March as well, so that's quite impressive.
During a pandemic.
during a pandemic, yeah. So your home base right now is Toronto. How long do you plan to be there before you start picking up and traveling again?
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, I wish it was auto show season and I wouldn't be here today. I need to spend some time here with the family. My work misses me as well. And so I'm home pretty much for the next 2 months, aside from maybe some shorter business travel, probably most likely to the US. But then I actually continue my EMBA through to July, and I have three more trips lined up before I graduate.
My goodness. That's quite something.
Keeping busy, definitely,
to say the least. I wanted our audience to get to know who I'm talking to a little bit better and hear about your background. So I'm really curious to understand, how did you get into where you are today? How did you get into marketing? What was your origin story? How did you end up here?
Sure. So my story of being part of the marketing leadership team is probably a bit unconventional. It truly only started over 7 months ago when I was given the opportunity to be the head of marketing communications at Hyundai Canada. And so I'm responsible for the various departments of brand, retail, events and sponsorship. And really, my background is not that. So trying to tie it back to marketing, I would say when I was younger, I wanted to be an actress. Mm-hmm. I mean, which kid doesn't? And obviously, I love commercials. And now I get to be behind the scenes. So I'd say with all that, most importantly, I love telling stories. And so mine is that I've worked in auto for over 20 years, enough to make me a lifer. I love it. I idolize my father, who's actually a mechanic by trade, and really that's what I had aspired to be once my actress dreams failed. And yet my mother was my true north, and she knew better. And so off I went to business school. But when I graduated, I knew this was the industry I wanted to be in. And so after working at the Ford Ontario truck plant to kind of pay my way through my undergrad, as soon as I graduated, I moved out to Saskatoon, where I was a field rep with General Motors. Yeah, in the area of service. So it was a parts and accessory role. And so imagine a 23-year-old me in the middle of the prairies, advising many wiser men what to do with their warranty and customer experience dollars. And so it was a little bit of a struggle, but I was very fortunate that I actually have quite a technical background, again, just from the how I grew up. And so from that experience, I was actually able to continue on through Western Canada and moved over to the sales side of the business, till eventually I came back to Toronto. And that is when I joined Hyundai. Started in the field there as well. So just very vast experience from the, you know, from rural to GTA, and just getting a really good sense of all of the markets and different geography across the country, to when I was given the opportunity to work in dealer development. And really, I would say that A lot of my learning came from that area of the business where I find it, extremely unique in the auto industry where you deal with, lawyers to realtors to even architects. And so, and obviously the dealer network being the biggest asset for us as an automaker. And so I would say my biggest accomplishments was probably bringing the image program, starting that off for the great team who has brought what we call the GDSI program to Canada. And from that, I moved into after sales again from a national perspective, was able to join the brilliant team of Genesis and the very innovative business model that they bring to our country. And really now I'm in marketing with this, amazing opportunity of something that I've always been truly interested in, where I've, studied from a formal standpoint in my undergrad, but now even in my MBA, where I get to learn from renowned professors about, advertising strategy and brand strategy and getting to put everything to practice. And really, I believe that this is the experience that I needed to provide me, a well-roundedness to be a future leader at the organization.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for the very granular and expansive details into how you got where you were. I find it really interesting when you say like your technical background is kind of what drove the initial part of your career and interest in automotive. Can you maybe go into that a little bit more? Where does this technical background come from? And I'd love to understand that.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't deter anyone who is not technical from joining the industry. And really, you don't even have to love cars to get involved with where it's going and in truly a tech space. But I mean, myself, my personal story, as I said, from my father, I grew up where he was turning wrenches and building cars and racing in quarter
That's so
miles.
Cool.
And so I've always had this affinity for speed for anything with an engine. I mean, from snowmobiling to skidooing. I mean, I ride a Harley, and so
respect,
right? So, yes, anything. I personally do love automobiles and the evolution, and then to be part of that and the things that we get to work on and see them come to life. So, I definitely understand a little bit more from a technical aspect of just having been around a garage for most of my life.
Yeah, you grew up with automotive being inundated in your
in
life.
My blood.
I mean, that makes me think. I'd love to understand what has been your dream car growing up. When you start thinking about, money's no object, this is my dream car. What is your dream car right now? And how has that grown and how has that changed? What was your dream car growing up?
Wow, this is a tricky question. You're going to make me, I don't want to go off brand. No, I'm kidding. So, right now I'm driving my dream car. I'm actually in a GV70 and I love it. Fantastic vehicle. It's funny that this question. I mean, when I grew up, I wanted a Mitsubishi Eclipse, if you remember those from when I got
absolutely.
My license.
Absolutely. The little bump in the engine.
That was the coolest.
The
yeah. My father actually worked at Chrysler and so the Eagle Talon and of course the year I get my license, it's discontinued. It has to tell you something. But I would say if money was no object, with my Italian heritage, I'd probably pick a lane there. My 8-year-old son probably knows more about the exotic vehicles than I do, but I would probably go Ferrari just for the prestige and
of course.
A bucket list.
That's amazing. When you say Eclipse, that triggers me because one of my best friends growing up, his dream car was the Eclipse, and he had this forest green Eclipse that one time he got busted driving with too many people because he had the N, which is what you have in BC as like your starter, and I had to drive this car and I couldn't drive anything other than automatic. So I still have a little bit of PTSD getting this car home. So that's so funny. Well, thanks for sharing kind of that background. I think that like you've described a origin story for yourself that makes you a pretty good candidate for most Fast and Furious movies when it comes to the hero. I'd love to understand what you've seen in your time working automotive and now recently more focused on the marketing side. What are some of the major evolutions you've seen when it comes to automotive marketing over the last 10 years? You had mentioned some of the most exciting things and changes are happening recently. So would love your perspective, and definitely with your lens, I think we can get a lot of value for our listeners.
Sure. I mean, by no means would I say I'm the expert likely out of your audience here. But again, I just think coming from the business side and having a different perspective, what I'm able to do is kind of pull in from all the other stakeholders, really what matters in the role that we're providing as support function of marketing. And so, you know, what I have identified, and I mean, and you know, this shouldn't be groundbreaking, but I mean, obviously everything's moved to digitalization and online. And so as of late too, I think with social amplification, you know, the importance of influencers, micro influencers, I mean, it's a massive space, you know, that some of us are doing well and others have opportunities. Really, I you know, to your point, I think now is really where we're seeing the greatest evolution in the industry. I mean, for so many years, there was no change, really. Or I should say minor progress. I mean, now, you know, with the pandemic and everything being forced to online, you know, it really sped everything up to hyperspeed of just having to evolve our business models. And so now trying to be more connected and understand our customers. So, you know, shifting to customization, you know, the social and community awareness is huge right now for a lot of brands and everyone putting forth their sustainability efforts. And so, I mean, you know, really it's important for all of us to be, you know, great corporate citizens and customers are demanding more of, you know, the brands that they buy from. And that's great. I mean, it's forcing everybody to do the right thing and make good decisions. And so really what I would say is, you know, right now what we're trying to do is just understand the needs of our customers and deliver to them as that constantly changes and evolves what it is that they need from Hyundai. And we're there for them.
And could you share a little bit of that? Like, what have you found that the customer base is now looking for? What are the expectations when they start to you know, get into the market for maybe their first car or maybe their kid's first car, they're looking to upgrade? What are some of those points that really drive home that value and that expectation?
Sure. I hate to say it, but buying a vehicle has not always been a joyous experience. And so really now I think the customers are in the driver's seat. And I think it's great, again, for progress for everything. And so we are trying to be respectful of their time. You know, a process that sometimes takes 3-4 hours and maybe over several days, it, you know, that's not necessary any longer. You know, I mean, I think Genesis set the bar with the direct sales, you know, everything available online at your fingertips. And even Hyundai, I mean, with our click to buy and you know, prioritizing again, customers' time and being able to start the process, whether you're at home or whether you're at the dealership, and continue where you left off. And again, these are tools that will continue to evolve to make sure that, you know, we are there, you know, for exactly however you need us. I mean, again, going back to Genesis and a lot of Hyundai dealers today, where we come to you. And so, you know, respecting if you're not comfortable to come into a dealership or your, you know, schedule does not permit, then, you know, we will come to your house. We will come to your home. I mean, again, it's more of that personalization and building relationships with our customers.
Yeah, I really like that aspect of personalization and the more bespoke approach to being able to communicate what you guys are able to provide at Hyundai for a new auto owner and what they're interested in. How about forecasting? Put on your forecasting hat. So looking beyond 2022, looking over the next 5 years, and obviously the big shift to electric vehicles is on a lot of people's minds with governments offering, you know, very specific kickbacks and incentive programs. What do you think is going to be, and again, blue sky, what is going to be something that that you think you're going to have to focus on in the automotive industry going into the next 5-10 years?
Well, I think, again, from the personalization, it's going to be even more heavily demanded. I mean, we are working on all kinds of algorithms where, you know, ideally I will be making up your mind for you. No, kidding. Scary, not scary.
An NFT of your car.
Exactly. Your car. Oh, exactly. Yeah. And so, I mean, again, how do we try to make more meaningful connections? And so I think, yes, metaverses, NFTs, and everything is just changing so quickly. And so how does each brand play in these spaces to make their mark, right? I think even, you know, you're seeing a lot more collaborations, and I don't think that will go away. And I mean, I think, you know, brands, you know, leveraging each other to make themselves more relevant and expand their reach. And so there is so much pressure to innovate and be first. And so I think that those that are very well connected in the tech space and a lot of software, I think will have the advantage in the future.
I really appreciate that insight. I think there's I mean, the type of options you can have right now for something as simple as food delivery versus something that's going to be as important as your first vehicle or something that you use to travel and get around. And it's so interesting what the potential is when it comes to that kind of customization and forward-looking aspect.
Well, and Daryl, maybe just before you move on. So, I mean, obviously, the future right now is electric, right? And yes. I mean, this is a whole new segment, which, you know, customers need to be educated. And how does this fit into your lifestyle, right? And so there's overcoming that. You know, I believe the stat is like one in three. A third of Canadians are considering their next vehicle purchase to be an EV, and 50% have actually purchased one, right? So the adoption rates are quickly, you know, increasing. And, you know, Hyundai, again, trying to provide tools to take away range and charging anxiety and any technology concerns that they would have these vehicles. And really, I think this is more of a stopgap measure. And truthfully, the technology is well ahead of the infrastructure. And that's really a lot of the bottleneck today. From electrification to how do we truly get to that carbon neutrality, right? And you know, does that more hydrogen fuel cell? And you know, yes, I would say yes. And autonomous driving, right? And I mean, really, you know, given where we are, it was only 3 years from now that they first anticipated that we would have fully autonomous vehicles. I mean, that's not on the schedule that we had thought. So how quickly does that come? How does it play? And again, it's more of an infrastructure challenge, and you can see more, you know, like you said, governments, cities getting involved and trying to prepare for the future. And I'm grateful to say, you know, Hyundai is at the forefront of leading a lot of these initiatives.
Yeah, I really appreciate you stopping and getting more into these details. That actually makes me want to ask a couple more questions in this space. So when it comes to autonomous driving, Christina, as yourself, and not as a representative of Hyundai, but as yourself, when you look forward at this, this is something where, you know, you growing up around automobiles, this was something where it was just like, that's space talk, you know, that's probably
back to something the future.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that was unimaginable. Now, as we are, like you said, 3 years away from the date where they were predicting that it was going to be a, you know, full scale autonomous driving across, you know, major urban centers, and we're not there yet. What are those challenges that you see that has to be overcome for that to be adopted? And that this can be from a technology standpoint. This can be from a public education standpoint. This can be from a government and regulation standpoint. But what are those major challenges in getting there? Because Lord knows, I'd love something like that. I would love to just sit and chat and not have to worry about driving and knowing when to get where I'm going safely.
Exactly. You know, being able to multitask and be very productive on your commute in. Exactly. Yeah. I think we're learning to walk before we run. Again, I think the technology's there. I mean, most of our vehicles today have many autonomous driving, you know, features in them, if you will, right? And so, you know, we're just getting comfortable with that. I mean, even still, depending on how, you know, when you bought your last vehicle, and so I guess how new it is, and if it's equipped with these type of features, there are some people who are still hesitant, right? And so I think, you know, just like the EV adoption, again, there's education required and, you know, maybe a little bit of practice and demonstration and, you know, exposure to it that I don't, it's not something that definitely would ever happen overnight, right? So, you know, from that perspective, I think, are people ready for it? Some are ready and some are not. I mean, there's obviously so many concerns that you would have of, you know, being a passenger in there and not having control. And so again, things that would naturally just go through your mind. So again, it's not that something's going to, you know, be a solution tomorrow. And I mean, there's all kinds of various, you know, implementation plans that they would have to roll this type of thing where, you know, the follow type, I don't know if you've heard of that, but there's, you know, the trucks where you basically have two vehicles driving in.
Like a convoy.
Convoy, exactly. Yeah. And so really it, because again, it's almost that infrastructure of the sensors being able to read off the vehicle in front of it that enables it to, you know, move exactly where you need it to and stop when required, right? So again, there's lots of learnings to go through with infrastructure and you know, not visibility on every road, you know, no lines on every road. Again, I think it's something that will take some time, to your point. It will be an implementation plan that rolls out in certain areas to start. And I think eventually will continue to grow and adapt.
I think when it comes to what you explained to me is it's extremely layered, right? Like there's going to be responsibilities from a government perspective, from a regulation standpoint. There's going to have to be obviously brand responsibilities. And then beyond that, the comfort level of people and getting people adjusted to trusting their vehicles or trusting the technology at this point. It is something that is quite interesting because it is one of the more, this probably isn't the right word, but invasive. Like you're taking away control of someone's ability to drive their vehicle and really not even really that. It's just an option that you can turn on for your vehicle. So it's very layered. And what your answer was really good at doing was explaining all those granular details that have to go into the considerations for it.
Yes, and I think the other thing we have to remember, again, from it not being an overnight success, is that we will see it, and again, start to develop that comfort where, you know, certain industries like trucking may adopt it. And so really it's more of delivery service and you know, not any passengers truly involved, and yet maybe still fulfilling the challenge of truck driver shortages. And so, you know, there's a double win potentially of something that we might see first, again, before it enters the mainstream and would really, you know, affect everyday drivers.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
It reminds me of, remember when Google Glass first came out like 2 years ago? And
yes.
Yeah, I don't know what, you know, what your interpretation of it, but for me, that technology, I was like all about it. I was so bullish and with Antisocial. I was like, hey, we got to figure out how to start, you know, marketing within what we could now call the metaverse, right? We need to start figuring out how to market in the AR and the VR environment. Google Glass is going to change. Everyone's going to have Google Glass. And here we are 2 years later, and no one's really properly integrated AR into their day-to-day lifestyle. I feel like autonomous driving, like you said, technology is there, but the challenges is far beyond it. It's very similar. I mean, I can't wait till that happens, but I can't imagine a world where it can happen within the next couple of years just from...
Oh, definitely not. I mean, I think it's definitely at least 10 years away plus at this point. And I think it's even a space that, you know, there's so many unknowns. And so even from a venture capital perspective,
yeah,
it's difficult for people to want to take that risk right now, having, you know, maybe not met original projections, right? So no, it's tricky. I mean, we're going to keep a close eye on it. And you know, obviously every automobile maker is working towards something. But you know, no, Hyundai's really doing a great job in you know, truly trying to be a mobility mover. And I mean, you can see all kinds of articles today of even working with the city of Miami on, you know, air travel. And so, I think, you know, there will be a lot of change in this industry for the first time in a long time.
That's really exciting. I'd love to pivot on my next question.
Sure. Here.
So you obviously have a lot on your plate. You are moving in besides your education, which is crazy that you're fitting in the time to do that. Good on you. I'd love to understand what you want to foster and develop and grow within your department going into the rest of this year. Not knowing how big your team is, or your direct reports, what are some of the major developments that you're hoping to grow within your department this year?
So I would say to start with that redefining the Hyundai brand for Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's been over 35 years in this fabulous country, and I think it's time that the brand has earned, you know, an opportunity to potentially pivot to what it means and the messaging and really the feeling that I want a consumer to.
To feel when they're looking at Hyundai, like I hear what
yes.
you're saying. Like
something that permeates with them with the brand. Yes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, really trying to ensure that again the recognition and the awareness is there. And so, you know, we're a massive global brand, and so we do have a lot of cues that we can leverage. But ensuring that gets executed tactically across all mediums in mm-hmm. every message. I mean, there is a lot of housekeeping that I've come into, and from a point of, again, coming from a business perspective of, you know, being able to put some rigor and process and measurements around a lot of the stuff that we're doing so that we can ensure that we're making, you know, informed decisions and always making constant improvements. So really, you know, working, collaborating across teams where, you know, I the first thing I did when I joined this department was to restructure. And, you know, we used to have a digital silo. We no longer have that. That is now integrated into everybody's role. And mm-hmm. and so where we've gone back to some basics of, you know, the creative brief and, you know, who should be involved in that process, who actually needs to be briefed in. And again, thinking of every step along the way and how this will impact our consumer or be absorbed by our consumer. And again, not just from a sales perspective, but large organizations, so many other brand touch points out there from an after sales perspective mm-hmm. To different CRM initiatives. And so just ensuring that we're all aligned. And so really, I want that one constant voice that really puts Hyundai's best foot forward. You know, another thing for the brand and what we're trying to replicate here and in our country is the sustainability message and the importance of, you know, of, you know, a better tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I'm a mother, I have children, you know, so I think it is very important that everybody, you know, take responsibility and try to do better. And so ensuring that, you know, we are doing our part in all of that and celebrating the wins. And even from the network who, you know, decides to, you know, build a dealership with different sustainability, you know, inputs into their, you know, LEED certified building. Anything counts at this point. Yeah. And so, you know, really, again, celebrating that from across the country and, you know, more of a play, you know, connecting with the consumer. So like when we talk about socials, obviously also picked up, social has been a very important new tactic for us that we're spending a lot of time concentrating on mm-hmm. because we do feel that that best reaches the real Canadian drivers out there. So we're looking to tomorrow's International Women's Day. We're launching a new campaign. I mean, we're trying to get people more involved with the brand, you know, owners, you know, engaged with everything that we do to become, you know, lifetime advocates. And so with that, we're, again, what are important to Canadians? And so I think in the future, you're going to see a lot of things that Hyundai will be involved in, from even sponsorship opportunities that will really try to make sure that we're, you know, grassroots connected across this country.
Wow. Sounds like a huge undertaking. A lot of layers to it. But thank you for sharing. I think that you definitely have your work cut out from you just from that little spiel right there.
And there's so much more I'm leaving off that I almost forgot where your question started. I know, sometimes I'm a talker.
That's actually how I gauge a good question, is if we can talk about multiple things and it leads into the next one. So no, that is very clear. I think you've done a really good job of explaining to me and the audience kind of what you're hoping to grow and foster within your department. And it's clear that you came in and you already caused quite a disturbance is the wrong word, but you came in and you restructured and you integrated digital. Absolutely. Exactly.
Disruption.
Exactly. Exactly.
I would just add to that, now that I reheard your question, I was reminded that I think one of the biggest things that I actually was looking to grow and you know why I became part of this team was to grow the people. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of great talented individuals on the team. And I think it's always important to, you know, to share the different perspectives that I have with their marketing expertise to really well-round different individuals to basically build that set of the next generation of leaders of the organization. Mm-hmm. So that's been a big part of it too.
And hopefully you can get to teach them how to actually pop the hood open, fix a car with your background too. Well, that brings us to the end of kind of these long form questions. I do have a couple rapid fire questions for you. So these are just, there's no wrong answer as always, just gut reaction. And the whole purpose of this is for our audience to get to know you a little bit more genuinely and kind of hear your raw response to things. So I'm going to switch on over. So first rapid fire question is, what was your first job? And this can be under the table. No legit paycheck too, if you want to share.
I didn't work under the table, no. So I actually started in hospitality. It's in my DNA. That's actually the slogan of the company I worked for. So I worked at Peter Paul's as a server.
Nice.
When I was in high school.
Nice. Are you a night owl or are you an early bird?
Definitely a night owl.
Yeah. Okay. What was the last charity you supported either financially or with your time and why?
So does the Princess Margaret Lottery Hospital Lottery count? I feel that's self-serving. but no, I support regular supporters of United Way and Sick Kids. And I also participate in those great sport tournaments that they have throughout the year. We do as a company, and I'm always participating in that.
So nice. What sports do you play?
So I used to be a great soccer player. recently with Sick Kids, it's mostly volleyball. And I think just now they tried to do something this winter with skiing at Blue Mountain, but with the pandemic, it wasn't off to a good start. So we'll support them. We'll get them next year, next season.
Blue Mountain. I've heard lots about this Blue Mountain Bunny Hill.
Oh, you live out west. So yeah. Exactly.
What is like the app on your phone that you cannot live without? Email does not count.
Instagram for sure.
Oh yeah.
I would say that's my escape. I'm not big on social media. I actually only got into Instagram because of my children's school. And now it's been years. So I shouldn't say I'm not big. I try to fight it. I refuse to go onto other apps at this point, but Instagram is definitely more than once a day.
Yeah. So no TikTok account for you yet.
No. I want Hyundai there. We're going to start playing there. I've been very clear with that, but not for me.
No, I wouldn't suggest it from a personal standpoint. Or if you do set a timer on it, because my goodness, TikTok's figured something out about how to keep people on their platform.
I get to see them anyways. They overflow into everything. It's great. They're doing fantastic.
You are a young mother. What is one of your secrets you can give to other young mothers that can learn from your last little bit as a mother?
A secret. I would say stay calm. Take a deep breath. Make time for yourself. I think patience. I mean, I think I work in such a fast dynamic mm-hmm. industry, and I'm constantly on the go.
And you love speed.
I do. And sometimes, you know, it's not fair, I guess I should say, that, you know, I have to be more understanding of my audience. And so these little people need their mother, and I need to often slow down and listen and understand and make sure that I'm there for them. So that's what I'll, if you're there for them, you just can't do it wrong. So
appreciate it. This one's a fun one. What would your superpower be?
Oh, sleeping. I would say always be ready. I feel like the finding time, again, going back to the time, it's just everything is very consuming at this moment. So being able to have more time to prep and do things of interest versus keeping up. I think that's the challenge, especially with the pandemic right now. It's so many virtual meetings and you know, trying to make time for people. And so it's becoming exhausting. I am ready for, you know, the new way post-pandemic. But having more time to be prepared and focus on other things other than the regular day-to-day is something that, I mean, that's not a superpower, but that's what I really want.
I was going to say, that is the most conservative
desperation
answer to that question I think I ever heard.
That's what I want.
Oh man, okay, it was great to have you on the show. You did great for your first podcast episode. Hearing how busy you are, I definitely really appreciate the time, so don't take that lightly, but thank you for sharing your history, and our audience is gonna love this episode.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Daryl. It was a pleasure speaking. Very exciting experience. And I would just encourage everyone to follow, subscribe to Hyundai. Watch what we're doing. Lots coming down the pipeline.
And their new TikTok coming up.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Christina.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and The Podfather.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.